You're listening to The Night Watch on Original 106, and this section we're calling The Space Around Us, our weekly look at the solar system and beyond. Our expert is Professor Malcolm Coe, who is from the School of Physics and Astronomy at the University of Southampton. And today, we'll be talking about the Southern African Large Telescope. Professor Coe, how big is a large telescope?
Large telescopes these days come in sizes of buses. 10 meters or so in diameter is a typical size for a cutting-edge telescope. Huge, huge things. I mean, so huge that we can no longer build them from one mirror. We have to put lots of mirrors together to try and achieve this kind of size.
I mean, most people remember telescopes from science fiction films of a large tube pointing up into the sky. Is it like that?
No, there are no tubes at all on this thing. It's a bit, it's more like a sort of dish, really, just pointing out into space. It's a mosaic of 91 mirrors all stuck together, all working hopefully in harmony, producing the same picture. And then we join all the pictures together electronically to produce a really deep image of the sky.
Now, I try and keep my mirror clean at home. It's a tricky job, especially when you're brushing your teeth. These must be a real pain to clean.
They are, and it's one of the trickiest things. We have to be very careful. We've invested a lot of money in these mirrors. And unlike the mirror you might shave with or look at home, the silvering is actually on the front of these mirrors. So we have to be very careful. And in fact, we're not allowed to touch them at all. The way they're cleaned is they're cleaned with jets of dry air, and somebody has a long nozzle and goes around and blowing all the dust off these things and tries to keep them clean that way.
So why is the University of Southampton involved in this project?
Well, we have a long history of being involved in astronomy in South Africa, both Britain and the University of Southampton. But about 5 years ago, the South Africans decided they wanted to build a new telescope. They wanted to build one of the biggest ones they could possibly afford. And in fact, SALT is the biggest telescope in the whole of the Southern Hemisphere now. So the South African government came to the astronomers in South Africa and said, OK, here's half the money and you can have it if you can find the other half from friends overseas. And so we're one of these friends overseas. We're one of the partners in this collaboration from the beginning. We're putting money and expertise into this telescope, and between us, we're building this fantastic instrument.
And we get something out of this?
Oh, absolutely, yes. So British astronomers, or astronomers in Southampton University, have access for the next 10 years to this telescope as part of the deal. After that, we'll renegotiate.
Well, this is very exciting, I must admit, and because I personally love pictures of space, and we've absorbed a certain amount of information there. Let's let it sink in, listen to some music, and come back in a moment with Professor Malcolm Coe.
Sparkle, he may land tonight. I don't
And rather suitably, that was Starman by David Bowie, because this is The Space Around Us, our weekly look at the solar system and beyond with Professor Malcolm Coe. We're talking about the Southern African Large Telescope. And
yes, indeed. I'm glad you said Southern rather than South Africa.
Uh-huh. Why is that?
Because politically, South Africa want this to be a leading-edge instrument for the whole of South Africa. They see their role as trying to bring science and technology to the whole of that area of the continent. And so they're very insistent that it's called the Southern Africa rather than the South Africa telescope.
Someone's bound to be thinking, South Africa is a poor country. Why on earth is it spending all this money on something that looks into deep space?
Well, actually, it's not a poor country, but it's a country fraught with a huge number of problems. And HIV/AIDS, of course, is one of the very biggest ones. But they're trying to look forward. They're trying to set standards. They want to be recognised in the world as a cutting-edge technology centre. They also want to inspire their young people to believe that the way forward for the country is through technology and engineering and science and physics, and astronomy is part of that. It's an inspirational part of that. So this whole project was taken up by the South African government in great enthusiasm, and that's why it's happened.
So if the telescope then discovers something big and massive in space, it's good news for South Africa, or Southern Africa.
Indeed, and South Africa will get most of the credit. They've put half the money in. All us as partners, and there's another six or seven partners around the world, we've only put much less money in. So it is first and foremost an African telescope.
So what are you trying to hope to find?
I'm interested in black holes. Uh-huh. And in particular, I'm interested in black holes in other galaxies.
But a black hole isn't actually a black hole, is it?
It's black in the sense that no light can get out of the black hole. But a lot of black holes are not there by themselves in space. They're sitting next to something else. And so we look for the effect they have on the star or the space around them. And by inferring from the space that are around them what's going on, we can figure out there's a black hole there.
Do you know what they're for yet?
What they're for?
Yeah, what is the black hole's purpose in life?
Yes, like wasps or something like that. Yes, well, black holes are a natural evolution. They're part of the final stages of many stars. And so they're not uncommon. We believe the universe must be absolutely packed with these black holes.
So if you're looking for black holes, what are other people looking for?
Life. The Great. Search for life is one of the really big questions facing astronomy at the moment. And, you know, chemistry and biology and maths and all these other disciplines are coming together in this. And what we need to do is find other planets like our own. Now, for the last 5 or so years, we found lots of other planets around other stars with other telescopes, but none of them are Earth-like planets. And so the search for the Earth-like planet is the big quest at the moment.
And are we expecting a really good photograph or picture or digital image, or is it going to be more like a blob?
I'm afraid it'll be a blob, but it'll be a blob with a lot of interest. It'll be a blob because they're so far away, even with huge telescopes like this, we're not going to be able to resolve detail and see quality of the picture. But we can measure the colours, the light coming from this object. And so we'll be looking, first of all, is it bluey-green, you know, a bit like our own planet? And then we can do analysis of the light, and we can see whether there's, you know, the gases, the oxygen, the carbon dioxide, nitrogen, whatever that we have in our own atmosphere is in the atmosphere of this planet. So we can figure out a huge amount about this object, even though we can't quite produce a picture of it.
Well, on that note, I think that's a great place to leave it, and we look forward to your next visit. That was Professor Malcolm Coe. Thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure, Zan.